Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. Well, it's coming up. Halloween is almost here. We see lots of lights and I see people out buying candy and so on, getting ready for Halloween. Do you have memories of growing up and trick-or-treating or other kinds of Halloween stuff? You know what? When I was asked that question the other day, I was going, oh, not so much. But then the more I thought about it, I thought, yeah, it does. Although, you know, I lived in the country and we really did not get to go to town trick-or-treating much. But at the time I was growing up, we rented a farm and the owner always encouraged us to come to his house. And it was really special because he gave whole regular-sized candy bars. That was almost unheard of at that time. And sometimes, though, we had to do a little treat for him, you know, sing a song or whatever to earn our candy bar. So other things, you know, might have happened on that night, but that's one of my memories. And, of course, kids continue to make memories on Halloween, hopefully good ones, not just really scary or bad ones. So here's some other information about trick or treating. Some random facts that you probably don't have any need to remember, but sort of interesting. The U.S. Census Bureau estimates there will be 41 million trick or treaters ages 5 to 14 in America. Parents are expected to spend $1 billion, that's with a B, dollars on children's costumes, and if they're on trend, you know, it'll be whatever the kids are into. Probably for girls, it's princesses this year. Princess is the big thing. In 1950, Philadelphia-based trick-or-treaters traded in a sweet tooth for sweet action. In lieu of candy, residents collected change for children overseas and sent it to UNICEF. That's how Trick or Treat for UNICEF program was born. It was just tricks, no treats for Charlie Brown. If you follow Charlie Brown, of course, it's about the Great Pumpkin. Well, the TV show, It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, in the 1966 TV special, he utters, "I got a rock," while trick-or-treating. And that phrase went on to become a famous peanut line. Due to safety concerns, trunk or treating was introduced in 2000 as an alternative to hitting the pavement for candy on Halloween night. Cars are parked in a circle at a school or church parking lot, with event goers decorating their open trunks and dressing in costume in order to hand out treats. And I understand we have one of those, at least one of those, going on in Atlantic at a church. In 2010, Belleville, Illinois, became the latest city to ban trick-or-treating for kids over 12. Teens can face fines from $100 to $1,000 for going door-to-door. Although, according to officials, more often than not, overage Halloween goers are just given a warning. The best place for trick-or-treating in America? Bridgeport, Stamford, Norfolk, Connecticut, according to 2011 Index of Halloween Halls. I'm not sure what criteria they use for that. And a quarter of all U.S. candy sales each year occur around Halloween. This year's top seller? Maybe Snickers, or maybe there's something else on your list. The term trick-or-treat dates back to 1927, according to this information. It was printed in November 4th, 1927, edition of the Blackie, Alberta, Canada Herald. And this is what it said. Halloween provided an opportunity for real, strenuous fun. No real damage was done except to the temper of some who had to hunt for wagon wheels, gates, wagons, barrels, etc., much of which decorated the front street. The youthful tormentors were at back door and front demanding edible plunder by the word or words trick or treat, to which the inmates gladly responded and sent the robbers away rejoicing. So supposedly, trick or treat, the term started in 1927 when it was published. However, the trick-or-treating history, of course, we have to look at a little history, goes back much, much, much further. Ancient times. You know, most of our traditions, almost all of our traditions, are not new. They have some sort of long-ago history. And according to one researcher, Halloween has its roots in the ancient pre-Christian Celtic festival of Samhain, which was celebrated on the night of October 31st. And the Celts who lived 2,000 years ago in the area that's now Ireland, the United Kingdom, and northern France, believed that the dead returned to Earth on this particular night. And so people would gather to light bonfires, offer sacrifices, and pay homage to the deceased. And during some of these Celtic celebrations, villagers disguised themselves in costumes made of animal skins to drive away phantom visitors. Banquet tables were prepared and edible offerings were left out to placate unwelcome spirits. And then in later centuries, people began dressing as ghosts, demons, and other creatures, performing antics in exchange for food and drink. Hey, this custom known now as trick-or-treating was called mumming and dates back to the Middle Ages. And then in Christian times, because Christianity had spread into Celtic lands where it was gradually blended with other older pagan rites, in 1000 AD, the church designated November 2nd as All Souls Day, a time for honoring the dead. And celebrations in England resembled Celtic commemorations of past times, complete with bonfires and masquerades. Poor people would visit the houses of wealthier families and receive pastries called soul cakes in exchange for a promise to pray for the souls of the homeowner's dead relatives. Known as souling, S-O-U-L-I-N-G, the practice was later taken up by children who would go from door to door asking for gifts such as food, money, and ale. In Scotland and Ireland, young people took part in a tradition called guising, dressing up in costume and accepting offerings from various households. Rather than pledging to pray for the dead, they would sing a song, recite a poem, tell a joke, or perform another sort of trick before collecting their treat, which typically consisted of fruit, nuts, or coins. And then in England, there was something called Guy Fawkes Night, F-A-W-K-E-S, also known as Bonfire Night, and that commemorated the foiling of a gunpowder plot in 1605. And so it relates to the bonfires and so on. So trick-or-treating in the United States, really, if the colonists came from England, maybe we're following up on the Guy Fawkes Day. But those fleeing Ireland's potato famine in the 1840s helped popularize Halloween. And in the early 20th century, Irish and Scottish communities revived the old world traditions of souling and guising in the United States. By the 1920s, however, pranks had become the Halloween activity of choice for rowdy young people, sometimes amounting to more than $100,000 in damages each year in major metropolitan areas. Now, the Great Depression had an effect on Halloween, with Halloween mischief often devolving into vandalism, physical assaults, and sporadic acts of violence. One theory holds that it was the excessive pranks on Halloween that led to the widespread adoption of an organized, community-based trick-or-treating tradition in the 1930s. And then, of course, that was interrupted by World War II, when children had to refrain from trick-or-treating because of sugar rationing. So it goes on, though, you know, no matter what the origin, and perhaps you have a tradition in your family even, and stories to tell, Halloween goes on, trick-or-treating goes on, regimented as it may be, or some just out there on their own. So until next time, something that doesn't have anything to do with Halloween. Does this fit you? These days, I spend a lot of time thinking about the hereafter. I go somewhere to get something, and then I wonder what I'm here after.